Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Oh, I'm recording.
Right.
I ain't got any notes this week. Tried that for a week. Got rinsed.
There was the newsreader, wasn't it? The slightly over off to the newsreader, but you were fucking talking about Chef. It wasn't like it was University Challenge. You went, oh, let me refer to my notes for the...
Every other podcast has notes. Every podcast, surely,
we're not
Ben,
every other podcast.
Every podcast have, like, do a little bit of preparation, don't they? We don't even talk about what we're going to say.
That's what the audience love. Right. That's what the audience love.
Let's do it.
Hello and welcome back to the Sofa Cinema Club, episode number 8. I am Colton Smith and I am joined by...
Jack P. Shepherd.
Ben Price.
The Sofa Cinema Club is our podcast where we get together and we educate each other on films, the films we should have seen, but we haven't. However, we have had some abuse in our Instagram about recommending films that we have seen.
But the thing is, Coulson, we don't know. The whole point of the podcast is it's a surprise when we deliver the film, innit?
Well,
so if we go to you,
think.
Of course, have you seen Jaws? And you go, yeah. Go, oh, don't worry, pick another one. You've got to go for it.
Yeah.
No, and actually, we've gone through a lot of films now,
yeah,
so it's getting a bit
getting
more
hard.
Likely you're going to have seen them.
It's not like we're going to run out of films, but
we won't run out, but...
No,
Jaws could have been easily one you'd seen.
I think It was because we've had Hunt for the World of People, Jaws, and then Chef. So everyone's a little bit like, Ben had seen Hunt for the World of People, and Jack had seen Chef. So everyone's a bit like, ugh. Anyway, the Sofa Cinema Club is our podcast where we educate each other on films, the films we should have seen, but we haven't. And sometimes
we
the films
do it again
we have.
Each time. I like that.
Great.
The beauty of our film club is that anyone can join in. All you need to do is watch along with the films that we pick at home and then come and listen to us every Thursday. We come back here, we talk about what we loved, hated and rated about the film. This week's film is Old Boy. But before we get into talking about this week's film that was picked by Jack and Ben, it's been 10 weeks since I've seen either of you. Lockdown is in full force. What have you been up to other than playing with your glasses and looking at your spots, which is all you're doing now?
There's a massive elephant in the room.
Yeah.
The Taj.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
massive.
I don't know.
You've got to lead us through that, Jack.
That's about it or not? Are you too upset?
Yeah, I can talk about it.
You're not with it. Is it because of the Taj?
What, me? No, listen. Wait, it's been a week now, hasn't it? Listen, what happened was...
It's been a week since the Taj. I can just about say Taj.
So we had to move it because it's on the coffee table in the living room.
And I was gonna... hold on.
Right,
why
on.
Were you filming it?
Because I had a suspicion it was gonna go.
Okay.
And I thought,
okay,
do you know what? I'm gonna record this. Because this is a big moment in people's lives that there's never a camera there to see.
Yeah.
And I had the foresight and the knowledge and the tools to set up a camera on a tripod in the living room just in case I captured the moment.
Secretly, you are literally just thinking, £250, you've been framed. I need the money. Let's get it done.
So I did. I set it up and she's coming down the stairs now.
Oh, this is where it gets awkward.
What? Because I haven't seen your sunglasses.
Oh, he can't talk about her Because she's there, and all he wants to do is blame the Targe on her.
It's very awkward, isn't God, it?
It's awkward. Anyway, Ben, weather's nice, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, there we go. She's coming for sunglasses. Still frosty, I'm feeling.
It is frosty.
It's still frosty. Targe frosty. Right,
do you listen, not speak to each other anymore?
No, we do.
Is that
do.
What's happened?
Okay, okay.
Are you going out?
Yeah, I'm just going to be... I just need to buy my sunglasses and then I'm...
There's a lot of tension here from the
Maybe
Targe.
The sunglasses are in the tension. Targe. Tell her to look in the Targe.
Tell her to tell her to get the Lego ones out the drawer.
Right.
Retrace your steps. When did you last have it?
Hold
on. The day of the Targe. The day of the Targe.
Just fill the people in. You built the Taj Mahal 6, out of Legos.
Pieces.
How
6,
many?
6,000 pieces, 21 hours to build. That's how long it took. So
your face is a bit like me when we do the ratings.
I know, yeah. So I'm moving it from coffee table to sideboard. So it's a few metres. So I brought it over on the table. So I brought the table closer. So all we had to do is the lift and the up. She wasn't with it. I mean, I was thinking, I've got this, my end's secure. And she's laughing and dicking around and thinking it's going to be a piece of piss. And I'm like, it's not. It's not going to be a piece of piss.
It's not easy to move the Taj Mahal.
It's not. So I'm lifting it up and I'm looking, I'm really careful. And her end starts to go. And then it completely went. And what you didn't see on the video.
It half went and then it went again.
It half went and went again. And then that's when I lost my shit and I walked off. And yes, I did kick it, but I kind of kicked it on purpose. Because if you could see what had fallen, it was all of it. I couldn't rebuild.
The turrets and the dome.
I couldn't do... Everything went. Everything went. I couldn't rebuild any of it.
Because let's just jump in here. Hani did suggest, which is a great point of the film, where she goes, you could always rebuild it.
Oh, yeah. She said, well, that's part of the challenge now, isn't it? Because everything's on the floor. You can
that old Lego
challenge. Wait, no, that's not part of the challenge. Part of the challenge of Lego is to build it, and then that's it.
What have you done with it? Where have you put it?
It's in two boxes on top of the sideboard.
Like,
just
like
all in
you've
bits.
Fallen out with it.
Just all in bits.
Chucked it in the corner. It's a lot. There's a lot of bad energy going around here.
Oh, that was what it was. It's literally one of the greatest pieces of Lego footage I've ever seen.
Do you want?
There's so much in there.
There's
a bit of an argument.
What
is
sweets?
Once
it all fell apart, we found that Ruben had been hiding sweets inside the Taj Mahal.
I bet he was gutted when the Taj
loads of flying saucers and Haribos. He'd hid them in there.
It's smart. Last place you're going to look is the Taj.
If people want to watch the video, Jack, it's on your Instagram, is it?
Yeah. I'll put it on the Sofa Cinema Club one.
Put it on the Sofa Cinema. Oh, it's fantastic. It is fantastic.
Oh, she's found her sunglasses. She's see you later. Sunglasses.
Bye.
Bye.
Social distance walk.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye.
Now you can tell us the truth. How annoyed were you?
You were annoyed.
I did think of shoving the dome's upper arse.
Has it put you off Lego for life? Or are you going to build something else?
Yes. I am never picking up my Lego tools again.
So that's
it's
it.
Defeated.
No
defeated.
Tower of London.
That with the old Sydney Opera House. Would
no,
you? You
it can piss
that.
Off.
Oof. You don't.
Oh, yeah, there. That's it.
Producer that's Ben it, is reliving it Ben's right now.
What's great is, at the end, it looks like you're crying.
Were there tears? Were there any tears? Or?
No, they weren't. You know, like when a loved one dies and you feel that loss?
Oof.
It was that. Okay.
Wow. Bloody hell.
It's a deep start to the Sofa
that's
Cinema
a deep,
Club.
That's a deep. Well, what have you been up to this week? It's been very deep.
Come on, Ben. Lighten it up. There's got to be a dog story, aren't there? What's
dog
the
story,
dog been up to?
Dog just strangled itself.
Oh, this podcast is taking a turn for the worse.
It's all right. She's fine. So I didn't realise. She gets in the car. She goes on a little hop. Seat hop.
Not in the
boot. She's meant to be in the boot. I thought, she stays in the boot. Because I haven't been in the car with her for a while. I just walk out of the house with her. And Alex just called me. She'd put the lead in the boot. Star had gone for the old front seat to be the old passenger. And giving herself a little...
Fine.
She's totally fine. Little thing, she's fine. She suddenly went, oh, then we let her off and then she's fine. Totally fine. So that was Star in a car. Because she hasn't been able to go in the car, so she's distanced.
Have you had any socially distancing walks? Have you seen anyone?
Do you know what? I saw my mate socially distanced.
So did
and
I.
It was a bit weird.
Easy, though. Two people... Easy, innit?
Easy.
It's just how long do you do it for? Because you feel weird and you sort of stood there going, you all right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The dog doesn't be socially distanced. The dog was straight up, hiya! Tail wag, hiya! And I'm going, 2 metres? Yeah, whatever. Fuck off. Do a little shit. Ooh, hiya! They're all over the place, aren't they? They don't care. They don't distance from anyone.
There was a rumour that you could get it through dogs, wasn't there? So I find that if we take the dogs out and the dog goes near anyone, people are like, oh, get away, keep away, running away from
any
the dog.
Any dog things yours, N. Coulson? How's your week?
Do you know what? The same as the last 10. Believe it or not.
I'll tell you what I did. I got some shampoo. You know you've gone blonde.
Yep.
I got grey.
Why?
Why?
I don't know, I'm fucking bored.
Mixing it
but
up.
But you are grey.
I know, but then this makes it like white.
Oh, right.
Like yeah.
White grey. I tried that blonde shampoo. It's just not working. I've tried it for a week now.
But
nothing.
Have you got... you've just got the shampoo. I went shampoo, conditioner, spray.
Oh, you've gone the triple.
And now, I mean, you can't... I've not styled it. It actually looks very good now, by the way. Like, I've pretty much finished... now I've been using the purple silver shampoo. That is a thing.
That's
purple,
what I've
silver.
Got. Mine's purple. The old John Frieda purple.
It's not John Frieda. I've gone fudge because apparently the fudge is the best one you could get. And I thought, I'm not taking any chances. I'm going big guns. Oh my God.
Still
hair? There is something that's happened. My dad's cut my hair.
How was it?
Yeah.
Let's have a look.
Can you? It looks alright.
I'll take
my headphones off and I'll quickly style it. It looks all right.
It's awful. The
only issue,
great,
here.
Very good.
The only issue is here, where he didn't quite know what to do.
But it's orange underneath, and then
he's not a barber, is he?
No, and he was doing it with the clippers that you used to do the plants in the garden.
Shepherd, no news on the electricity on the desert island for your beard clip.
Nope. Do you know what I thought? I thought I'm not going to do anything to it. Because you don't get this opportunity really until we go back. I'll trim it.
I suppose in your beard life, tash life, you've never been able to grow it long in your whole life.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
You look a little like you look a lot like your brother. I know that probably is because he has a big bushy beard. But you started.
Is his bigger than mine?
Yeah.
He's like Olympic.
Yeah.
Level.
It's about 10 years though, in it, Tom's like. Yeah,
no, it's just trimmed it actually the other day. And this is a boring conversation. Can we move on? Jesus.
Well, right. Speaking of boring, let's have a Jack synopsis then, because that really brings the crowd
nice
in, doesn't it?
Okay. Next segue.
Nice. Okay.
No, he's practiced it. It's going to be
has,
short now.
I haven't. Actually,
get ready for
I
your
haven't.
Script.
Right,
are you sure you want to do it? Are you sure you don't want to pass over to Ben?
No, I'll have a go. I'll have a go.
Phone.
Have a go.
Who's that? That's
oh,
not me.
Phone.
It's not me actually.
Oh,
you call
it's me. Hang on. Hang on.
The old, it's not me. It is him. Here we go. Fuck. Stay tuned. If you don't want to listen to Jack's synopsis, just skip about 5 minutes and we'll be on to the podcast.
Right. Okay. So the film is called Old Boy. It starts in a police station and a man's there. I've forgotten his name. D-Sum.
Odisum,
something like Odisum, yeah. We'll
you should know it because you read it a lot last night.
No, I haven't. Listen. Right. So he's in a police station. He's been arrested for being like drunk and disorderly. And
it's his daughter's fourth birthday.
It's his daughter's fourth birthday, thank you. And he's just been held in a police station. He has a bit of a fight with the police officers. And in the end, they say, right, you can go. You're annoying us. So he goes, and while his friend is on the phone at a telephone box, Odisum vanishes, just gone. And he wakes up in this... It looks a bit like a hotel room.
It looks like a Best
Western. Hotel, isn't it?
Yeah,
like a
Best
hostel.
Western.
Yeah. So he wakes up in
a hostel. I'm not sure what hostels you've been to, but you don't get... You don't get a double bed in a hostel.
Oh, right. I like the shower in the room. It's massive.
Yeah. So he's in this room. He's no idea why. He's no idea how he got there. But every now and again, just food comes through a hatch and he eats it. And then there's a toilet in there. And he's just no idea why he's there. He keeps asking the questions of this guy who's delivering the food and he just doesn't say anything. And it turns out that he gets kept and held prisoner in this room for 15 years. And then one day...
He gets gassed at night, doesn't he?
Yeah.
To go to sleep.
And then one day he's just released. And then he doesn't
Very
know
good.
Why, but he wants to find out. Yeah, that's it. Synopsis.
Yeah. Done. Very good.
It's all right, isn't it?
It gives you the lead into the film. Because it's a long film, isn't it? 2 hours.
Is it 2 hours? Yeah.
Yeah, so, 2 hours. Let's just talk about why this film is different in terms of subtitles, language, all that kind of stuff. Does one of you want to take that away?
So it's a Korean film, and Coulson, you mainly watch like English-speaking films, don't you?
Yeah, rarely watch subtitles.
Did you watch the subtitles, Coulson?
Yeah.
Or did you try and get it dubbed?
No, yeah, I did. Oh, by the way, about watching this, I talked about how it was costing a lot of money having to buy these films. Anyway, me and Ben share the same Amazon Prime. But last night, I thought, I can't. The only place to get it was Amazon. So I had to log out of Ben's account on the PlayStation.
You could get it on Apple.
I had to create a new account. So it's cost me £7 for the Amazon and it cost me £4 for the film.
Jesus.
I think we've only got a week left in this podcast. The rate is going. It's expensive.
$2.99 on Apple.
But yeah. I rarely watch subtitles, but I did pick the subtitled version.
And did
I started without subtitles, and I went, fucking hell, this is going to be difficult. I don't know any Korean.
Jesus, my Korean's not up to this. talking too fast. It's been a while.
To be fair, I was very impressed with Amazon Prime, because you can change the size of the font and you can change the background. So I had it massive, like half the screen was subtitles, because otherwise I find with a subtitle film or program, I'm never seeing the acting because I can't read quick enough to see stuff. So I basically had subtitles across the whole screen and just saw everything as it went.
Oh, tiny little thumbnail.
You didn't just have words all over everything.
Good 25% of the screen. What's wrong with that?
What? No, just
great opening shot.
Yeah, with the tie on the roof.
So the opening shot is our man who is holding another man by the tie over a building and saying his name. And that's the first time. It's kind of like a flashback, isn't it? You see when he's first been released.
Yeah.
I'll just talk about that. When he does get released, he goes up to the top of the building, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And just to sort of see daylight.
That's where he
gets
released, isn't it? He wakes up and he's on the roof.
And there's a man also on top of the roof, and he's going to commit suicide, isn't he? For something completely different. It just happens to be on the same building.
Was he not a prisoner as well? No.
I don't know. And he grabs him, and he's saying how awful his life is. And he says, well, just wait there a minute. Let me tell you my story before you decide to kill yourself or not. And then he tells the story of how he's been locked up for 15 years, and now he's just been released. And then the guy goes, oh, that's an amazing story. And he doesn't kill himself, but then when he walks down and away from the building, and then the man just falls off the building, doesn't he? Onto the car.
Into a car. And then I thought, has he done that with the dog? I hope he left the dog up there.
No, dog comes down with him.
Ugh. With bloke?
Yeah.
Oh.
Can I just say...
I didn't catch that. I feel a bit rum there.
From an overall, it's a tough watch, you know. It's not Happy Feet, is it? It's a tough watch.
It's basically a sort of revenge film, isn't it? You then, when he comes out of the prison, he's then got to find out. So he then is given clues. He's given a wallet. He's given a phone.
Mm.
He's given a nice suit. So the person who locked him up sort of taunts him to say, what you've got to do now is find out why you were locked up.
Yeah.
It's kind of a hunt for truth, is it not? Because once he's out, you know, he's been in prison for 15 years and he's out. So then he goes on this hunt for truth. And his decision is, does he either get along with it or does he find the truth? And it's that hunt for truth, which is kind of the whole storyboard since he gets out of prison. And it's
but he's also been in the
really
room on his own,
quite
hasn't he?
Brutal bit.
He's been on the room on his own doing. He sort of starts being very depressed and eating crap, watching telly. But then suddenly he paints a man on the wall and decides to train himself to fight to get revenge.
Yeah.
And then when he comes out to get revenge, he ends up, well, for the first bit of the movie, just killing everyone.
Well, he tries, doesn't he? To he says, there's that gang of lads, isn't there? And he says, right, now, can I put 15 years worth of imaginary combat to the test?
Yeah.
Now, and he absolutely kicks shit out of him, doesn't he? He goes, seems like I can.
Yeah.
And then he wants to find out who's locked him up. So he goes to like the same, he tries to find the same food that he'd been eating for the past 15 years. Because he remembers.
What are they? We always have those, don't we? Calls. We used
gyozas.
To have those. The gyoza.
Yeah. The Wagamamas.
The Wagamama gyoza. Yeah.
Gyoza. That's what he's eating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not the Wagamama ones, though. So the first character he meets when he comes out after this 15 years is the chef.
The female sushi chef.
Yeah. Yes. He says that he's seen before and he assumes that it's from the TV shows that he's been watching in his jail cell for so long. Now, this scene, for me, at the time, there was only one thing that I was asked about until the right end of the film when I kind of, everything makes sense, doesn't it, at the end of the film?
Yeah.
But the big thing is that octopus.
That octopus. Hannie couldn't watch. She couldn't watch. She went, oh, no, it's making me feel sick.
So he asks, in the sushi restaurant, I want something alive. That is actually a dish, isn't it? They take the octopus out and then chop it up, and then you eat it chopped up. And he takes the octopus in his hands and eats it. And you watch him eat it all.
And he, and then the actor, must have done that. Like, well, he does. You sent me the YouTube video.
I sent you the YouTube of the outtakes. It took him four goes.
He had four octopuses, four live octopuses. And you see him wriggling and they're all over his face.
And he says sorry to it before they go for a take.
He's a Buddhist.
Well, he's a Buddhist.
So he prays to it.
Yeah. So he had to pray after he'd
after. But that sets the tone, isn't it? It's interesting because a bit like in Jaws when that kid dies and you go, oh, this is going to be quite a ride. As soon as he eats that octopus, you're like, oh, here we go. This guy's off his head.
It's not a normal film, is it?
It's like a John Wick, isn't it? It's like a Korean John Wick.
So there's a very famous thing that he basically... So he keeps going, trying to find this place, and then he does find the prison. He goes back to the prison with a hammer, and there's a very famous scene, which is a cross-section of the corridor of the hotel, and it's like 30 lads and him, and he's going to hammer attack all the way through. He's got to get to the lift, so he's got to go from the door to the lift. And you see it in a cross section, he hammer attacks.
What was that? Did you hear that?
That was you, wasn't
it?
It
was my stomach, yeah.
Stomach rumbling.
What was it?
Yeah,
octopus.
On.
Have you had octopus?
I haven't.
Did it get you hungry thinking about eating a live octopus?
Got some in the fridge,
octopus?
I'll get it out. I'll sit here and eat it.
It should
live.
Be in the tank.
And that's a very famous scene as well. That's probably as equally famous as the octopus scene.
That scene you're talking about, when I was watching it, it's like almost on one shot, isn't it?
It's shot like a
video game.
Yeah, it was done in one take. It took them four goes. There's no cuts.
It looks like a video game.
CGI.
How does that make sense? It's done in one take. It took them four goes.
Yeah,
one
four goes,
one
four
shot.
Takes.
Oh,
one shot.
Oh,
sorry,
one shot.
Right. Four takes. So they obviously got a few hammers in the head. The only bit they CGI'd was when he gets a dagger in his back, and they CGI'd that.
You can tell they're not like connecting with each other, but it's almost very
only on like one maybe.
On the
kicking. What's great is when he nearly gets to the end by the lift, and then they all take a breath. They're all a bit tired. And then he goes right back in, and they all start again.
Yeah. And then the lift opens, and there's another 30 lads in there.
Yeah,
yeah, and he dives in there and kills them.
The whole film.
You don't see that, do you? They just see that. He's come from down that corridor and he's just got a trail of bodies behind him.
Yeah.
And the lift doors open, they think they're going to batter him, and all he does is just smile, this big grin across his face. And then the next shot is him coming out the lift with all the bodies behind him.
I think that's what the thing about the film that from shots wise, directing wise, he uses so many different techniques within that film.
Yeah.
So many different shots. So much clever use of. He's always changing the viewer's eye. He's always doing something interesting that keeps you in, you know, keeps your imagination going that he's in this prison, it's all very tight, then suddenly he's out, then suddenly he's having a fight. Almost like a video game, like you said, Coulson. It's a clever, it's very clever.
The one thing that I think I was thinking throughout is this story and the script is very good in terms of it's clever. And I think the first bit where it really kicked in for me was when he is trying to work out where the gyoza are from. So he literally goes to every restaurant, doesn't he, until he finds it. Then he finds it, then he follows the delivery man because he knows he must have a delivery every day because he's being fed the same thing. Yeah. And it's just clever. And then he starts to answer the questions, doesn't he? So he starts
well,
to
work out. You're finding out with him as well because you feel like you've been locked up with him because you don't know why.
Yeah.
Just he's there, he vanishes, you wake up and you're in the room with him. And then when you're out, you still you've no idea why. It doesn't show you, you know, in different scenes who's locked him up or anything. Yeah. You don't know.
The first clue he gets is that the people he was locked up by are almost a company that are paid to lock people up for a certain amount of time and then let them out. So he knows that somebody has paid to lock him up, but he doesn't know who. We have that scene that we've just talked about, you know, the very much video game sort of scene. He goes out and he's been stabbed in the back and he collapses in the street and then somebody helps him into a car. And that is the same person that we've also seen the face of chatting on a video chat to the chef who he is now in a romantic relationship with, Mido. And that kind of is when his brain starts to click of, oh, that's the guy. That's the guy I need to get the answers from. And then he goes on this trail of finding the answers, which actually turns out to be quite easy for him because they want to give him the answers. Odae, Sue and Jing Lee meet each other for the first time face to face. And that is when Jing Lee, who I'm going to call the baddie from now in, basically turns around and says, you've got two options. You can either torture me until I tell you the truth, but if you torture me, I will kill myself before you can torture me. And he has this pacemaker thing, doesn't he, which can turn his heart off. Or he says...
He's got a mint bodyguard, isn't he?
With the blonde... That's what I'm going for. That's the hair.
Grey hair. It's like grey. Mint bodyguard.
Or you can find out why I locked you up. And then he makes a decision to find out why he locked him up. And basically, he leaves there thinking that he's just got out of this prison and now he's in an even bigger prison. Until he can work out what it is, what the reason is. So he starts to retrace his steps and he builds this friendship with the character that he meets who gave him the octopus of Mido. And it kind of turns into a little bit of a love story and a bit of an adventure where he finds out why he's been kept captive, why he's been imprisoned for so long.
He starts to find out that he does know this Jin Lee.
Yes.
He was at school with him.
There's clues, isn't there? His name on the messenger chat is the name of the high school that they went to.
Yes, and he was at this school, and what's he called?
Odae-Sue.
Him. He witnessed a boy and a girl having sex, right, at the school. They were in like a classroom or something, weren't they? And they have a little kiss, and he's watching from out of the window. As a little boy, he's watching, and they're having sex, but those two people are brother and sister, and it's Jin Lee and
the
his sister.
And his
the baddie.
Sister.
The baddie and the sister.
They're having intercourse, and he witnesses it, and as a kid, if you see that at school, what are you going to do? You're going to tell people. You're going to say, Jin Lee, he's having it off with his sister. That's what you're going to say, aren't you?
Yeah.
So that's what he does. His little mouth goes, he blabs it all the way around school, and then he leaves.
No, he tells one person.
He tells one person. He tells his mate.
He tells one person.
Well, I think that's fine. I mean, if I saw that at school, I mean, the whole fucking town would know.
That's the point, though. Isn't that the point?
I think that's the point, is why he can't connect what he'd done.
Yeah.
Because he only tells one person, but that one person tells everyone.
So it went round the school. So he left the school, and it went round the school that Jin Lee's had it off with his sister. And then what his sister did... is his sister killed herself. She's hanging off this cliff.
She has a phantom pregnancy.
Does she? What?
Yeah, has a we find that pregnancy. Out. And because Jing Li says to him, it wasn't me that made her pregnant, it was your words that made her pregnant.
Yeah.
Right. And she wasn't
pregnant.
Phantom
pregnancy. She wasn't pregnant, and she kills herself.
My dog has it all the time.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Actually, Star had it. Weird.
Did she get obsessed with a teddy bear or anything?
She shoved the teddy bear
mind
on
him
the
all
sofa
the time
in front of the kids. Yeah. I had to do the old quick explanation there. Anyway, back to the film.
Yeah.
So the brother, you cut to a scene where the brother is holding his sister over a dam.
By the hand. Which is the same shot as the opening
shot,
isn't it?
Yeah. The opening shot. Beautiful. And she's going to kill herself because she can't stand what's happened. And she does. And he witnesses her die. And so you think that is the basis.
You think that's
for the whole reason. The revenge. And why he put him away for 15 years.
Yeah.
But then there's another part to it, isn't it? They sort of They get to where he lives, which is the penthouse of this apartment building. He's made a lot of money.
Yeah.
A lot of money.
They were a wealthy family, weren't they?
Yeah. So there's a big set piece where they're finding out why he was locked up for 15 years. But I remember watching it now thinking, I can't understand why the buddy laughs all the time. Why he thinks it's all so funny.
Yeah, because the bit that you kind of get in your head is like Jack said, because you're going through it with him. You get that key bit of that they went to school together. You get the key bit that she's killed herself. And you get the key bit that he was put in prison by the baddie because he had too big a mouth. Because he was telling things. So you work out what it is. And then...
Girls!
Oh.
Girls! Girls! Girls!
Is she eating some Lego? Is she all right?
No, just barking at me. Girls! The barking at passers-by.
Ferocious. Ferocious.
Angry. So you kind of work these steps out, and then the grand finale sort of thing, you feel like he's going to go and apologise and everything's going to be all right, don't you? You know, he works out where he lives, and they go in to go heads up. In the meantime, it's worth mentioning that this relationship that Dusu has, the goodie, has with
Mido.
They consummate the relationship, don't they?
Well, they sleep with each other. They're in love. They're planning a life together. And he's worried that, you know, that she's going to get killed.
So he does the only
logical
smart thing,
which
is to put her back in the prison where he was.
Yes.
Yes, I've got it. I'm going to put him back in the prison room with the bloke who runs the prison. Then there's the big denouement, the big ending is Mido's in the hotel room. He thinks safe. He says, you told your mate about me sleeping with my sister. My sister died. That's why I locked you up for 15 years. But then it twists again, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So the 15 years wasn't enough for revenge.
Yeah. And it's that question of, because I thought end of the film, finale. All right, very good. And then that question of, why did I let you out after 15 years?
Yes, he said that was the question, not why I locked you up, it's why did I release you?
And then there's a purple box, and the purple boxes are the theme of this film, you know. They're left by the Barry often, they're clues, they're hints as to him getting towards this thing. And it's the last purple box. And he opens it up, and it's a scrapbook. And it's a scrapbook of his life. And it starts off with him and his daughter, aged 4. And each page, his daughter gets a year older. And he finally flicks to the page where his daughter becomes 17, 18. And his daughter is Meadu. So he has made her, him fall in love with his daughter. And they slept with each other. And that is his level of revenge. And when I watched that...
Your head fall off.
Completely.
Yeah.
I thought...
That's the moment where you go, that's deep, his head, his revenge is deep. And then he takes... The baddie takes the goodie all the way through the steps...
Of how he did
of
it.
...of his revenge. Mm. So yeah. He hypnotises him when he's in the prison. He goes to the sushi restaurant, because he's and then he gets on the phone, doesn't he? The baddie says some trigger words...
Yep.
And he's hypnotised Meadu. So he's basically hypnotised them into love.
To fall in love. And they fell in love. And then he realises he's fallen in love with his daughter. And the baddie says, that's it. That's my revenge. I but slept with my sister.
Has done,
you slept with your daughter.
What he also
he's given
has
her
done,
a box.
He's given her a box. And he yeah. says, she's going to open her box. And he says, you need to give me a reason as to why she doesn't open she that do. Box. And what does he say? He chops his tongue off.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what he does.
I was going about yeah. to say, if I thought to myself, crikey, how am I going to let this guy know I'm really, really sorry? I would take a pair of scissors and chop my own tongue off. So that's quite a bit, because he holds his tongue with a hanky.
Yeah.
He gets some scissors and then cuts his own tongue off.
Yeah.
And then licks the guy's shoes, doesn't he?
Yeah. Or barks like a dog.
Yeah.
Barks like a dog.
You know, he's his dog.
Yeah, that's where it gets a bit. That's where it goes a bit off.
Well,
I love that.
He's basically saying, isn't it? I'm not going to tell. I'm not going to gossip again. Yes. I'm literally not going to say
yeah,
anything
exactly.
again.
I've cut my own tongue off. Yeah. Quite Greek.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Greek, so it only clicked with me this morning. This when I went to college for the 4 days I went to college, yeah. did a monologue called Oedipus the King. Do you know it?
Oh yes,
yes.
It's a very similar story.
Sleeps with these.
He falls in love with his mum.
Sleeps with his mum, cuts his eyes out.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Why?
So that's...
Why don't he cut his dick off? Why is he cutting his eyes out?
Ooh, quite painful. Ooh, both quite painful, actually. What would you cut off? If you had to cut something off, what would you cut off?
Eyes or dick? Oof.
Well, just anything. What would you cut? You've got to cut something off.
Oh, pinky. I mean, the bent, anyway. They can go.
Oh, little fingers?
Yeah.
Okay, course.
My fat, I'd give myself lipo.
Yours is obviously your ears, Ben.
Yeah, ears. Okay. They'd still be big, even if I cut them off.
Right.
So that's the... So then he goes, okay, don't worry, I won't give the box to
me. He makes the call and says...
He makes the call.
Take the box, leave her in. Leave her in the yes. prison. Take the box out. Yeah. So he, you know, he knows that he's okay.
He knows
his
truth,
daughter's never going to find... Yeah. His daughter's never going to find out. And then we see the baddie in the lift when he kills himself, which kind of gives you that thing of, is that all he wanted or was revenge
yeah.
not enough? Because
I think he's no
he?
More purpose now.
Yeah.
Because he's obviously still depressed yeah. over his sister.
He wants to join his sister.
Well, yeah. he clearly was in love with his sister, and his sister slipped out of his hands and killed herself in a dam.
It was almost like the perfect kind of circle of revenge.
Yeah.
He'd completed it. He'd got it all out. He'd got enough revenge, and then his life was empty.
Yeah.
So he has a heart pacemaker, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Which he says that can be you can kill him with a remote control, but in the end he shoots himself in the lift as he goes down. So then you're left with, because our man, he's left with no tongue.
When he goes to kill him, it plays the tape of him sleeping with his daughter, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is, like, deep. My head had gone, like, completely. Yeah. You know, yeah. I was thinking, this is dark, but this is deep, and it's
rough. It's the bit after that I don't agree with. I think the film ends there fine. It's the bit after.
Where he
goes.
So I have to explain what happens.
So
after,
what happens is he then wants to find the hypnotist that hypnotised him in the first place, and he wants her to hypnotise him so that he can't remember who Mido is, right? Yeah.
So Mido doesn't know.
Mido doesn't know, and he doesn't want to know. So she does, doesn't she? And she hypnotises him. And I thought, hang on a minute, if I've just found out I've been screwing my daughter, surely I wouldn't want my mind wiping so I can carry on screwing my daughter.
Yeah. And they,
you know what I mean?
Live happily ever after, which happily, is clearly...
Is that, are you mental? Now that you know that's your daughter, you want to go, ooh, let's just forget that bit and carry on screwing.
Yeah.
Literally,
I thought exactly the same. I thought, this is really fucked up. What have Jack and Ben made me watch? It's a fucking Monday night. We've been in lockdown for 10 weeks. This is not what my mind needs. Just watched a film about someone sleeping with his daughter. I was like, in Korean. I've had to read it. I feel like I've read a book.
I think the point at the end, though, is you don't really know whether that's happening. You don't know whether how long it's been, whether she really does hypnotise him or that's going on. I think that's what the director wanted to leave you with. He didn't want to leave you with a perfect circle of knowing everything. He wanted you to leave with questions to the film.
It is.
That's what he said.
A bit sick and twisted, isn't it? We can all agree
on
that.
The end shot filmed in New Zealand.
Really? Ricky Baker?
To New Zealand. Ricky Baker.
There's always a way.
That's the only place they could find snow, so they went to New Zealand.
It's rare it snows in New Zealand as well. Must have been up in the mountains.
Yeah.
Shall we rate it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Go on then, Jack.
So it's our film, isn't it, first? Yeah, for me, Old Boy. I watch it quite a lot. I'd say I watch it once a year. And
when you're feeling happy.
When I'm feeling happy. Yeah, I just think it's a film that does, like Ben's just said there, really, leaves you with loads of questions. And all the way through, you're thinking, why? And you're just as lost as him. And I think the director creates that perfectly and sets the tone really well of the film. The fight scene's mint. The octopus, yeah, there's just so much in it that I enjoy, really. And so for me, I'm going to go 8.5.
Price?
I actually thought about this on my lockdown run, which I just had before. I remember when I first saw it, and it blew me away. Because I think just, you know that bit where she sees that ant on the tube?
Yeah.
That's so weird. She hallucinates. It's all about ants. There's loads of hallucinations. There's loads of mixture in this film. He's a smart director. He takes you all over the place. And also, when I first saw it, probably like you, Coulson, you're waiting for the revenge bit, and then you go, oh, okay, that's not, oh, wow, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my word, he's cut his tongue off. Oh, and by the end of it, you feel like you've watched something.
Yeah.
You've definitely watched. He's taken you on a journey. I found it doesn't impact me as much because I know the
because
twist.
You know, yeah. Well, that's a tricky thing.
And see, it's a twist you won't forget.
That's the thing. Hanny did. So she's seen the film before, and when we were watching it, she went, I've actually forgotten what he's in there for. And I went, oh, well, I know. And she went, oh, well, don't tell me because she'll ruin it. And she was like really shocked, and she was like, oh, God, yes. And then remembered at the end.
I think I'll go 8.
So, not the usual film I would watch. For one,
no.
Korean subtitles. That, for me, would normally be a straight no. And that's more because, in all honesty, that's probably because I'm lazy and I've been spoon-fed with films. I almost wouldn't widen my horizon to that. But that was not an issue with this film whatsoever. It's a thoroughly enjoyable film. It's confusing as anything, but that's because it kind of takes you on that journey that you've both talked about. A few really cool things that I liked. I liked what he did with mirrors in terms of the direction. I don't always pick up on directing in films, but I liked the way he used mirrors and paintings. You know, he's often looking at his own reflection. You're often seeing other things through mirrors. And I think that whole bit about the underlying story around truth, that kind of sat well with me. I did find it shocking. I did find it a bit sick. But it's a film that you want people to watch because you could talk about it. For me, story and script-wise, it is up there with one of the best stories and one of the best scripts I have seen in a film. It's up there with, like, Parasite level of shocks, twists and turns.
Racing Stripes.
I don't... Do you know what? I don't know. Yeah. Partly, I mean, thinking out loud, is that because I have to read it as well? So I'm concentrating twice as much on the story and the script. Haven't got a clue. Are you ready?
Go on.
Yeah.
Go on. 8.5.
Oosh!
But...
Oosh!
It, you know what? It could have been lower in some sense, but it also could have been higher. It just... Yeah. In terms of story, I was like, fair play. I've never seen that story before, and I don't think I'll see anything like it again.
Yeah.
You know, it's clever.
So if we'd thrown that out, series one, second film, do you think your reaction would have been very, very different to now?
It'd have got bored, sort of... it'd have fallen asleep, it'd have been on, you know...
Yeah, I think you would have.
I don't know. You two probably know that better than me. I would say it's very different watching the films on your own. You almost feel a little bit more responsible because you've not got the other two people with you.
Yeah.
And that film yesterday, I think with subtitles, you cannot slack off. You have to be in it.
Yeah.
You can't be on your phone. No, you've got to concentrate. You've got to give it your full attention. You almost feel a bit more invested in the whole film and the story, I guess.
Yeah. Hanny did that. Yeah. She was like on a phone. And I went, babe, you're missing it. She went, I'm not.
I'm listening.
I can hear it. I can hear it, she said.
My Korean's good. School stuff, but it's good on the whole. Yeah, but you're right. You have to interact with that film.
Yeah.
And also, the performances. The guy who leads that film is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, very good. Acted.
Very good.
You know, it's a good film. And I would say, if you're one of our listeners and you haven't watched it, I mean, it definitely is worth a watch.
Do watch it.
Sick and twisted and it's hard hitting, but it's worth a watch. You know, it's
very well
one of them.
Put together film. So, what are we watching next week? Or
I decided last night after I sat there in bed a bit emotional.
What did that get, by the way? Is it 25?
8.5. Add 8.5. 17. Add 8.
Yeah, 25. 24.
So, last night, after watching that film, I decided there's going to be a lot of pressure on me now to follow it. And I thought, for all of the fans of the Sofa Cinema Club, they've just had to sit through 2 hours of incest, gore, and gyozas.
Oh, no, this is going to be an absolute... Oh, this is just going to be something... Oh, you wait, Jack.
The
it's going
film
to be like...
that I have decided... for you two to indulge in this week, for you two to educate yourself in.
What are you looking at?
Week.
Are you looking at the film?
No, I'm not. I'm just Googling it so that I can... Because you always say, is that with so-and-so in? And I don't know, but it's just so when you say, is that with so-and-so in? I can say, yeah. The film for this week is Wild Hogs. Yes.
What's that? Are they on bikes?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Who is it? Who's in it, Cools?
Tim Allen.
Yeah.
Martin Lewis. John Travolta.
Martin
William
Lewis.
H. Macy.
Martin Lewis? What? The money supermarket. Crikey, he's got around, hasn't he?
I wonder if you can give me some lockdown advice
on my furlough.
No, I haven't seen it.
Perfect. I have not seen that. They're on big Harleys, aren't they?
Yeah, so obviously, won't spoil it too much, but for those of you that haven't seen it, and you two, it's about mates getting together and going on a road trip on bikes. Mm. It's very funny. You'll enjoy it.
Wild Hogs. Great. Thank you.
So we want to send a little bit of a challenge out to you guys, and that is we want to hear from you. We want your stories about the films that we feature on the podcast and what they mean to you. If you've got a story about any of the films that we've covered, send us it in, let us know, and we will read some of the best ones out next week. We want a little bit of light entertainment, and it's a little bit of a challenge for you guys whilst you're in lockdown. Send them to us on our social media, at Sofa Cinema Club, on Instagram and Twitter. Enjoy Wild Hogs. and we will see you next week.
You're talking
week.
To us on the phone.
I'm talking to you.
You're calling me and Ben Wild Hogs.
Enjoy Wild Hogs.
Wild Hogs. Jack and Ben, you Wild Hogs.
I expect to see you back here this time next week in leather biker jackets. We'll be all patched up on us Harley. Ben, you can ride your motorbike for it. We'll have a great time. Until then, good night, God bless. We'll see you next week.
Good night.
Good night.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.